You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
This call is being recorded.
Come from you, get to people, yeah.
What are you gonna
you gonna do?
Do you really think that?
Do you think it all? Yeah.
The government cares about you.
They ain't giving up a second thought about you. No. Ghetto people.
Who you gonna turn to next?
Tell me.
People.
You gotta take a look at yourself. Yeah. Ghetto people. With your life,
running like a red disease,
running like a red disease. Ghetto people,
stop giving up yourself.
Stop doing what you're doing to yourself. You got to learn to love yourself.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters. In the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet, it gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe. It simply means, so be it. So we pour this libation to God for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe, civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement: Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted. And we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashe. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Hotep family, hope everything is well with you today. It's Wednesday, got to get over the hump. So I hope you get a chance to do all the things you want to do, need do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. And I hope the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. But if it's not, I know the kind of brother and sister that you is. You will get it done. You persevere. You don't procrastinate. That's why we appreciate you and love you and respect you for always getting it done. Brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. When you get on the homepage, hit podcast. Once you hit that, there'll be African Perspectives. Hit on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. Other programming that we have here on Time for an Awakening Media, as I said, this program is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. All times are going to give our Eastern times. Immediately following this program, The Black People Matrix with Brother Franklin Jones from 1 to 3. Every Monday and Wednesday, The Black People Matrix from 1 to 3 with Brother Franklin Jones. On Mondays, Monday evening, Acres of Diamonds, public affairs programming out of Philadelphia, Brother Wahad from 6 to 8, followed by Let's Buy Black 365 from 8 to 9. Then it's Conversations, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey from 9 to 10. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. On Wednesdays, Revive with Sister POC, Proof of Consciousness, on Wednesdays from 8 to 10. On Thursdays, Relationships with Joy and Troy at 7 p.m. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, you know what time it is. You're right. It's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard at 8 p.m. on Friday. And then on Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. No, it ain't me. It is Sister POC and her program, Revive, from 11 to 1 on Sunday. And then Sunday evening at 7 p.m., once again, it's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Every Monday through Friday at 10 p.m. Eastern to 12 a.m., it's the Warren Ballantyne Show right here on Time for an Awakening Media. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. I'm going to try to get through these announcements that I do every morning as quickly as possible because I have a very, very special guest for us today, and that is Baba Dr. Moriba Kelsey. Brother Baba Kelsey is a treasure, and I just can't wait to talk to him. So let me get through these, and right away I'll hook up with Baba Kelsey. We Buy Black. We Buy Black. Get everything you need from American African-owned business at WeBuyBlack.com.
The largest online marketplace for American African-owned business is WeBuyBlack.com. But if you are in the Atlanta area and you're near the Greenbrier Mall, stop in. They have a kiosk there, and you can pick up these products that are produced by us at WeBuyBlack.com. Africa for the Africans. AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Brother Bamani Tahemba, who just came back from South Africa, from Johannesburg, and from Cape Town, and now he's going again at the end of the month, December 24th through January, December 24th through January 4th, 2020, and that trip is only $3,700. If you got it, give him a call at 404-931-9429, 404-931-9429. If you want to see pictures of previous tours and the latest in South Africa, go to Facebook.com/Bamani. If you want to see video, go to YouTube.com/Bamani2007. Shrine of the Black Madonna. Well, let me do this right quick because I've been missing this. Let me get to Dr. Rinoko. Dr. Rinoko Rashidi, my good friend and good brother who's been on this program many times and will be on again. He's going to Senegal, Gambia, and Guinea-Bissau January 21st through February 4th next year. January 21st to February 4th, 2020. He's going to Senegal, Gambia, and Guinea-Bissau, only $3,800. And a special treat, in Senegal, you will be able to visit the radiocarbon dating laboratory established by the great historian and scholar, Dr. Cheikh Anta Diop. This is how Dr. Diop was able to win the argument in Cairo that the ancient Kemetic people, the ancient Egyptians, are an African people. So check out that trip with Dr. Rinoko Rashidi. Go online to drrinoko.com. Dr. Rinoko, drrinoko.com. Shrine of the Black Madonna. The Shrine of the Black Madonna, they have a program this Saturday from 2:30 to 4:30 this Saturday. And it's a free program and refreshments and so forth. And it's their cultural center and bookstore. And it's jazz. It's called Jazz Beats and Books, music by Kamos. So check it out, this right, the Shrine of the Black Madonna. You know, the shrine has everything. They got furniture, they got clothing, they got artwork, they have the red, black, and green shoes and the gas shoes. They got Kwanzaa kits, brothers. Kwanzaa's coming up, and we're going to talk about that today. They got the Kwanzaa kits, the candles, and so forth. And, of course, they have books. They also have an African Holocaust Museum. And they have a history class every Saturday, African history class, Know Thyself with Baba Olatunji, from 1:30 to 3:30. Free and open to the public every Saturday from 1:30 to 3:30. And, of course, if you want that information and you can't make the presentations, you can contact the Shrine about the multimedia library that they have, which is 7 terabytes of African enlightenment. That's right, over 15,000 video files, over 15,000 images, over 40,000 audio files, over 2,000 books, brothers and sisters. It has what you need to enlighten yourself to the history of our people. Another bookstore that we promote here is the Medu Bookstore. Medu means writing, and of course there's a word that goes after it. Netcher means God, the writing of the gods. The Medu Bookstore, located in the Greenbrier Mall. In fact, if you are by the We Buy Black kiosk in the Greenbrier Mall, just look to your left or to your right, whatever your perspective is or direction, and there will be the Medu Bookstore. Go in and see my good sister, and she has books, postcards, greeting cards, and the number to call is 404-346-3263. 346-3263, the Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. Brother Gazende Ajamu of the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore will be having Kwanzaa on Ujima, Collective Work and Responsibility, December 28th at the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia, 6884 Main Street in Lithonia. The keynote speaker is Baba Mwali Mubir Rudi. Myself and Brother Jamu are hosting, and you should want to be there. There'll be drumming, family and community entertainment, hors d'oeuvres, and so forth, all free and open to the public. It starts at 7 p.m. on Saturday, December 28th. The Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore. If you want to give my brother a call, if you got a book that you're looking for and he doesn't have it, he'll get it. The number to call is 404-519-8107. 404-519-8107. us lifting us, ULU, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people, in the spirit of Ujamaa Cooperative Economics, or as we like to say, family-centered economics. Every Thursday night, tomorrow night, the Thursday night broadcast, broadcasting on Blog Talk, the number to call is 929-477-2789. 929-477-2789 at 9 p.m. 9 p.m. tomorrow night. The Us Lifting Us Thursday night radio broadcast. Akabin Institute. I'm not sure how everything went last night for Sister Yah. I know they do have another program coming up in February, Saturday, February 1st. It's Relationships 101 for the brothers. The lecture, of course, will be given by Baba Baruti. The workshop will be focusing on preparing for a relationship, selecting a compliment, sustaining a relationship, dating a marriage, facilitated by Baba Baruti. And that will be Saturday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. on Saturday, February 1st. We'll announce more about it. Akabin Institute, brothers and sisters, we need Akabin Institute. We need a bunch of them. We need independent education. Baba Baruti has been doing a good job with his lovely wife, Yah. So please, make your check or money order out to Akabin Institute, P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. But if you want to use Cash App or PayPal, put the dollar sign, Yah, Y-A-A, the letter M, then Baruti, B-A-R-U-T-I, and make your contributions. Sanjay-Haiti. Sister Gabrielle Aurelia with Sanjay-Haiti doing outstanding work. They sent me a letter of congratulation. Thank you for my contribution to sponsoring Sister James Lee Dazelle, a fifth grader. Lovely young lady. She got a nice uniform on for school. And what the contribution entails and what it provides. She's doing work in the northeastern portion, in the rural area. See, and she's doing an outstanding job. She deserves to be supported. Go to Sanjay, S-O-N-J-E, dash, Haiti, which is the correct pronunciation of Haiti, A-Y-I-T-I.org, and check it out for yourself. Black Talk Radio Media Project, that's Brother Scotty Reed. The Black Talk Radio Media Project Fund, which is happening, go to blacktalkradionetwork.com. There is a link to the fund, but if you can just scroll down on the right-hand side, there's also a button that you can give donations to. The Black Talk Radio Media Fund. The Inye Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. The Inye Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. December 10th. Many of the problems and puzzles of history could be cleared up if we could only get over the absurd propaganda that Africa, for some strange and mysterious reason, has for ages been cut off from the rest of the world. Dr. John G. Jackson. Many Africans cannot get beyond Kemet in locating the origins of African civilization. But we must remember that Kemet was an extension of a more southern heart of an African civilization that spanned the entire continent. Kemet thrived and is best known primarily because of its extensive writing and written record of African thought, its substantial elaborate line of royal lineage, its strategic location in ancient trade, and its great scientific scholarly genius. However, many Africans who laud Kemet's greatness do so in a subconscious effort to remain within the field of European validation. They honor it only because it is being recognized as such Eurocentric political science. The color and features of the Arab people who now occupy Kemet, unlike the ancient Kemetic people who were African, who were dark-skinned, who were black, is closer to that of Europeans than Africans, and the Medu nature is acceptable to European definitions of civilized writing. Those Eurocentric rationalizations serve to disconnect Kemet from the rest of African continent, for these Africans, making it a safe place for them to search for their roots inside, but still outside of Africa. Affirm, I recognize all of the motherland has our undivided heritage. I repeat, I I affirm, I recognize all of the motherland has our undivided heritage. December 11th. We know everything we need to know to teach our children. The fact that we are not doing it means we don't want to do it. I'm going to repeat that. We know everything we need to know to teach our children. The fact that we are not doing it means we don't want to do it. Ronald Edmonds. As intelligent nation builders, we must be willing to openly admit that the Western educational system is doing exactly what it was designed to do to our children. It is killing their curiosity and will to think independently and their will to think independently, while corrupting their truth with perverted, abnormal cultural imperatives. In reality, it is more than another form of child molestation. If we are to save our children from this maddening diseducation, how we educate our children and what they come to know as truth must revert to what worked for our ancestors. What does this require? It requires educational institutions that work for us here and now, molded from the minds of our ancestors. It requires schools, good schools, especially for our youth, particularly and politically separate from European and Negro public and private institutions without ties to their curriculum. It requires teachers, better yet, healing educators willing to submit to the sacrifice of dedicating their lives to an African future. It requires specialized, ever-expanding African-centered curriculum, textbooks, and reading materials designed to satisfy our children's unique needs. Equally important, it requires supporters, investors, donors committed, whether secret or not, to subsidize this intergenerational educational initiative. It is an imperative. Affirm, I build, create materials for, educated in, and support African schools. I build, create materials for, educate in, and support African schools. The Inye Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. I'm going to forego. I was going to read Kwame Nkrumah, but I want to get to our guest because this brother, when I first moved here to Atlanta 5 years ago, and having seen him at various programs, in fact, I did go to a party that he had. Must have been, I think, as he's 94, must have been his 90th birthday. I don't know, but whatever it was grand. And have a lot of admiration and respect for Baba Kelsey. Good morning, Baba Kelsey.
Hotep, how you doing?
I am doing fine, sir. How are you this morning?
I'm just great. Just enjoying your excellent presentations and the spoken word that's so true that you're presenting to our people.
I appreciate that. Yes, sir. I'm trying to stay on the case in that respect. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to stay on the case. So, Baba, you know,
you
have been around for quite some time, and I want to introduce the listeners that we have here and many people to who you are and what you have done and what you're still doing, because I label you, as you know, as an esteemed elder. And my definition of an esteemed elder is somebody who has been in this struggle from day one of their lives and continue in that struggle till victory is won. And that's why that there's a lot of admiration and respect for you. You were born here in Atlanta, or you were born, I know you went to school in Ohio, correct?
Well, I was born here in Atlanta, and I went to school at the one and only Washington High School that existed for African people at that time.
Yeah.
Then I attended Tuskegee.
Okay. Oh, you Tuskegee in Alabama. Okay.
Yes, sir.
Did you go to school in Ohio, or you taught in Ohio?
Well, I did both. I taught in Ohio, and I went to school there also.
Mm-hmm.
I attended Kent State for my master's degree and PhD at Ohio State and I was a professor at Ohio State.
Oh, outstanding. What did you teach at Ohio State?
I taught counselor education.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how many years were you in Ohio?
Approximately, I'm going to say approximately 30.
30 years. I knew you. I bet you couldn't wait to get back to Georgia.
Well, I have to tell you that the weather had played a major role in my desire to come back.
I know it did.
I couldn't wait for another reason though, and that is that my parents now are ancestors, and I wanted to get back and share some of my travels and some of the information with the place where I was born, which was Pittsburgh, the Pittsburgh section of Atlanta, which I owe a lot because Pittsburgh was such an isolated community. As some would say, I felt like it was family because 99.9 or thereabout percentage of the population was African, and I often say that there were two streets, Humphrey, that was about two blocks, and Dewey that had about one block that had Europeans, and I often say that they were just guests of the community, simply because they never interacted in the community as family, and we never attempted to get them to act because we knew that they were there for either not for growth purposes, but for interruption purposes.
Yes, right.
And we accepted it as such.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to get back to one of the reasons I came back in 2010 was that I wanted to be back in the community and begin to do some things back in the community in which I grew up, which was the Pittsburgh section of Atlanta.
Well, that's great because I know I've been attending the pre-Kwanzaa celebration in the Pittsburgh community at the Recreation Center. And we're going to talk about that a little bit later in the next hour. We just want to give our audience and myself, you know, a bit of your history, a bit of who you are and what you have done, because it is monumental. Like I said, I was at your party at Morehouse. That was your 90th, correct?
Right.
Yeah, it was. It was really great. It was beautiful. And you just I marvel at people who have been around so long and seen so many things. You know, you were born in the early 20s, the mid 20s. And
right.
And of course, you know, the decade you were born in, the following decade is what you grow up in. So you really kind of grew up in the 30s and of course became a young man in the 40s and in the 50s. And then of course the 60s of the Black Power movement, you know, and of course, and then the 70s, 80s, 90s, and here it is almost 2020. And brother, you are still going strong, and we love you. We thank the Creator for that fact. Believe me. Also,
yeah, well, I'm grateful too. I would say that you're right, but I was thinking just before we got on air, that one of the things that I wanted to share this morning was the fact that my parents taught me to be independent, but dependent. Independent in that always have something going on to bring income to myself and my family, but also to be dependent in the sense that we later translated that to be reciprocity. To give and receive.
That's right, I say.
And, yeah. And I think that is something that somehow or other we've allowed our miseducation. I'm going to say that way. Our miseducation to remove us from is the business of balancing out that we give and receive rather than just receive and be aiming toward receiving all the time,
right.
Rather than our target being. Reciprocity as a process for living, and it is for many of us. I believe that it shortened our lives because we didn't balance of scales as we went through it.
Ashe, that's right. Because, I mean, many times it, well, you know, we live in a society mm-hmm. that is always about taking. You know, it gives lift service and window dressing about giving, but it has been proven it's always about taking. This is a very individualistic society. People are more apt of what's in it for me. How can I get mine? How can I get over? But I understand what you clearly said, Baba, about, you know, that you were taught, yes, not only, you know, receive, but give back. You know, the law of reciprocity, you reap what you sowed. What goes That's around right. comes around. So if you're doing good, good will come to you and come for you. And that is probably and more likely a good contributing force for your being of the age you are and still as sharp as you are, you know. Because yeah. there's a lot of folks who don't want to give. They just want to receive. But that's the society we live in, you know. Yeah. And, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, that, and you're right. And as we as Africans, wherever we are, we're never alone if we allow ourselves to have that principle in play. In fact, the matter is, I think that we're looking for power, the Black Power, as you say, through the Black Power movement. The one thing that we neglected and is still on my mind that we ought to attend to is that we have neglected that unity is the key to everything.
Yes.
For us. And that if we want power, then we have to have unity. We can't possibly have unity if we accept the old adage that's been taught us in many schools and many sometimes pulpits and other places that said, let's agree to disagree and move on. I mean, that is absolutely nonsense.
Yeah, because nothing gets done. Nothing will get done, you know?
Yeah.
See, we must come to some kind of consensus that there must be some kind of compromise.
I'd say that the goal ought to be, anytime we enter any kind of force, or we do anything, it ought to be aimed at coming to agreement. Now, we will have different opinions, but don't lose the goal as you have different opinions. The goal is to come together to gain strength and power and to be able to accomplish things. We can't accomplish what we would like to accomplish. We have a wonderful goal sometimes, but with the individualistic, as you have put it, lifestyles, it prevents us from achieving the goals that we set out for ourselves collectively.
Mm-hmm.
And so we stick out like a sore thumb. Oh yeah, yeah. He's got a big house on the top on the mountaintop. So what? What about all those people in the valley?
That's right. That's right. And see, it's just like they because of people who can amass huge amounts of wealth in this country, in this capitalistic country, they idolize them. Look all what she has or what he has. But yet the majority of our people are suffering. The majority of our people are still in a so-called begging mode, begging for jobs, begging for education, begging for housing, begging for health care, you know? And if we were unified with the express intent of supporting one another to making sure that all our needs were met by us, that wouldn't be an issue. You know, we would have thriving communities, just like what you said about the Pittsburgh community. You know, I know it's not what it was, you know, when you were raised there. You know, I noticed there are certain areas that are empty or blighted or they're removed and so forth. You know, but still, there's a remnant there that you always try to maintain, and I respect you and admire you for that. You know, because I know when I go back to Milwaukee, where my old neighborhood, you know, that's been, they put all these prefabricated houses and so forth. It looks a whole lot different, but yet and still, I can still feel it. I still know it. I still know how I was raised there and things that I'd done and so forth. And I know the same thing for you. Because you have a sharp mind. I know you can still feel how the Pittsburgh community was, you know, back there in the 30s, the 40s, and prior.
Yeah, I say that even now, if we look at what I call human capital, that is the people and their talents and their abilities, that some of which I continue to write about, that rather than how much money do they have, if we use the talents that they have, unbelievable things can happen. And I expect in my lifetime, I'm telling you, I'm not 94 now. I'll be 95 in June, but I intend to live long enough to see the tide change, where we at least begin to say that we are going to work together to achieve the things that we need to achieve, because our ancestors taught us the principles of Ma'at, the principles of Kwanzaa, the principles of manhood and womanhood, and we're going to put those back in place like we had them once before. It is not something new.
Right.
If you take the principle of Sankofa says, make things come alive now. Use the things that leave the foundation. Look back if you want to.
Yes.
But you're only looking back because you got a 360-degree vision that word has. So at the same time, they're looking back, they're looking forward. Looking,
that's right.
And looking at the present. And so it's very important that we understand that we're looking, that the Sankofa principle is not just looking back. It is looking at the time that it's looking back, it's also looking forward and looking at the present.
That's right.
And bringing forth those things that would be helpful to us as we move ahead in the present and in the future. And one of those is unifying the past, the present, and the future, and unifying us on the timeline that we're on right now. Unfortunately, there across our communities, there are sometimes Pan-Africanist groups, so many of them, who maintain their own independence separate from each other until we become just a leaf in the wind being blown around rather than the trunk of the tree.
I agree. Oh, Dr. Baba, I definitely agree. You know, and I know there have been some of us who have tried to get these organizations to come together to be a unified front. You know, I've been hearing this sister. I don't know if you heard her. She's the sister from Africa. I believe she's in West Africa. She was the African diplomat to the U.S. from the African Union. But she was speaking so strongly. She was speaking so strongly for Pan-Africanism and against the continued colonization of Africa that they removed her from her post. But she was on I'm on Time for an Awakening Media. And this past Sunday, she was on Brother Elliot's program, Time for an Awakening, on Sunday evening. I didn't get a chance to call in, but what she's saying is the same thing that Kwame Nkrumah was talking about, Patrice Lumumba was talking about, what you talk about, Baba. Because all of us, we want to see us being players in the world instead of the pawns that we've become because of European colonization and European imposition on our lives. And we want to break those chains that they have on our ankles and the vice grip they have on our minds to become, once again, a people of nobility and self-respect and ability for us to do it independently on our own. We can. We have everything we need.
That's right. That's right. And I hope that as we enter this Kwanzaa season, that's one of the things that we will take in, and that we will not just see the 7 days be days of just celebration, and that's the end of it. That we will make this year, this coming year, I'd like to declare it now, a year of Ujima, that we're going to do some work next year.
That's right. Collective work and responsibility. That's right.
Yeah.
Collective work and responsibility. And we check each other. We support one another.
And we're going to come together, hopefully, on the solstices. Spring equinox, on the solar system, solstices, that every quarter is where we check on ourselves to see what kind of progress we're making.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's really important that we do that. We can't continue to have one celebration after the other and then call it African, and then when it's over, it's over. We have put the principles in practice.
Yeah.
And so I guess I want to take this opportunity to invite people to come to the pre-Kwanzaa in Pittsburgh at 11 o'clock next Saturday.
This Saturday?
This Saturday, 14th, yeah.
That's right.
The 14th.
Yeah.
And so we can begin to just begin to talk about those things as we go into the Kwanzaa period, 26th through the 1st of the year, and talk about how we're going to make this come alive all year long.
Yeah.
As opposed to just celebrating the 7 days and that's it.
Well, you know, when I was, back in Milwaukee and celebrating Kwanzaa in people's homes back, I think I started really in the 70s, mm-hmm. That I became aware of. It still wasn't as pronounced and promoted as it has been to date, you know. And then, of course, it became commercialized for a minute that, you can go to, J.C. Penney's or Target's and buy you a Kwanzaa kit. Probably still can. I don't know,
Yeah, but they still do.
Yeah.
Have some brothers and sisters who unfortunately are doing that.
Yeah.
Instead of going to our own sales.
Right. Because that's what Kwanzaa is. Kwanzaa means... It means the first fruits in Kiswahili, but what it really means is unity.
That's the underlining
theme of Kwanzaa. When I used to do Kwanzaa presentations, I would try to help the people understand to make sure that the underlining, yes, Kwanzaa means first fruits of the harvest, but the underlining theme of Kwanzaa is unity. When you talk about Kujichagulia, self-determination, Ujima, collective responsibility, Ujamaa, cooperative economics, spending money with each other, creativity, purpose, faith, all these things are to be instilled in our everyday lives so we can be better men and women to work with one another, to raise our children, to honor and respect our elders, and give reverence to our ancestors. In fact, Baba, I got a piece that I'm going to read after the break. As we begin to talk about Kwanzaa more in depth, because I know talking with you the other day, you wanted to make emphasis on how important it is that we strive for unity. I remember the organization that we're involved with, ASCAC, and your lovely daughter asked me to do the presentation a couple years ago. In fact, it was in 2016. And I mentioned... in our day was Kujichagulia, the second day of Kwanzaa, that we're no more closer for self-determination than we were when Malana Karinga created it in 1966.
That's right.
Because we just come there, just as you said, we want to make sure that we do something. We test us. We just come there for the celebrations. We hear the music. We hear some presentations. We look at the kids. We light a candle and we go home. And we go back to the same old, same old,
Okay, but, now I don't know when you let me know when your break is due.
Okay,
but I wanted to say that you may know that I just published a little book called "The Genius of Africans United: A Call for Action," and it's just my little simple way of trying to get out some verses that encourage us to understand that we are geniuses, each of us. But standing alone, we can't accomplish very much. But together, we can accomplish whatever we set out to accomplish. And I think that we need to acknowledge that we've been taught that we're not geniuses.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, most of the education, many of the theological teachings and so forth teach us that we're not that.
Right.
This little simple book is only 50 or 60 pages, but it's designed to help us know that we are geniuses and that we need to demonstrate it. So, and you've heard the pledge.
Right.
It begins with the genius pledge.
Right.
But why must we be a genius? What does it mean to be an African genius? And these kinds of things, we need to begin to talk about them in serious terms so that we speak with one voice. We can't speak with one voice if you're going your way and I'm going my way.
That's right. We must agree on that. We must agree to do that. I agree.
Yeah. So I say all that to say that let's I appeal to our listening audience that we make this the year that we take the next step. Now, we've learned the principles. A lot of people know the principles of Kwanzaa. A lot of people understand the celebration and look forward to it. Now that we look forward to it, now that we've got that much, let's take the next step and put it into action.
Yes. And that's the thing. We need action. We need physical movement toward making it happen. I mean, it's not going to happen because we hope it happens. It's not going to happen because we wish it to happen or we pray that it happens. It happens because we make it happen. We physically organize to make it happen. Because that's one thing that I've always, when I was working with kids, teaching them things, I said, you got to look at the ancient Kemetic people. That civilization became great because of four things: study, communication, cooperation, and organization. They studied everything. They studied the land. They studied the stars. They studied the movements. They lived on a desert with a waterway, a river. What does rivers do, though? They inundate, they flood, but then they also recede. So they had to know when the river is going to flood so they can go downstream, go south, because the river flows from south to north, to go to the quarries, to cut the stone, drag the stone, take the stone on a barge, lift it all the way up to hundreds of miles, if not 1,000 miles, take it off of there and begin to place those stones one on top of another. But then when the water receded, they gotta stop that. They gotta do planting. They gotta do the agriculture. You see, study, and then they communicated with one another. They didn't diss each other. They didn't respect each other. Study, communication. Well, they cooperated. They understood that it's vital that I've got to do my part. You do your part. It makes it happen. And then,
brother, let me stop you and say because I like what you're saying about study. Now, keep in mind that our ancient ancestors studied so that they would be in harmony with nature.
Yes.
That was their basic study. How can I be one with nature and not be in opposition, destructive to nature? How can I be in harmony with it? If I want to roll this stone, there's a way to roll this stone to make sure that I don't destroy the earth.
Yes.
If I don't want to stop the winds from blowing, but I want to be able to know when the tides are coming so that I can do something else that would be complementary to the tides coming, and then when they recede, I can do something that's complementary to the tides receding. So that is a part of their study is the harmoniousness. That's why harmony is one of the principles, because it tells us that we must be in harmony, not in trying to control.
That's right. That's Ma'at. That's Ma'at. Yes.
Yeah.
And what you're saying, Baba, as I'm speaking, as I'm hearing you, I'm just thinking in terms of today, because we're not in harmony with nature. Nature is rebelling big time. Climate change is real. Climate change is global, unfortunately, but it's real and it's having a deep impact. In fact, it's so deep that some of the clients, because I know, and I said this many times on this program, that about 30 some years ago, I'm sitting in the firehouse reading an article about global warming. And as I'm reading that article, it stated that if these things are not prevented, then 30 or 40 years down the road, these could be some calamities that could possibly happen. And they're happening. Because the government of this country, Western society, Europeans, Caucasians, failed to heed their scientists or believe their scientists. When Jimmy Carter was in the White House, he put solar panels on the White House. And as soon as Ronald Reagan came in, that was the first thing he did. Take those solar panels down, give more money to the oil industry. In fact, the oil industry wound up buying out solar and wind so they could control it. And look what's happening. They're still dealing with oil. Look what happened a few years ago when the indigenous people were saying, hey, I don't want you to run a pipeline through our ancestral lands, through our waterways. I don't want you to do this. Because, see, the Caucasian was first going to go through Bismarck, South Dakota. But they said, no, we don't want this pipeline through here. Don't. And they said, well, okay. Well, we'll just run it through the Native Americans' land. Without even asking them. And they did. It wasn't even on the news. You could only see it on internet at the time. The National News Service did not broadcast it. That nothing was said from the White House until finally, because it got real dangerous, then you heard Barack say something about it, do something about it. But even today, they ran it through there, because once Trump was elected, because he's a big investor in oil, they knew they were going to go ahead and do this. And yes, the pipeline broke.
You're absolutely right. There's no intent to be in harmony. Control, they can't control anyway. It's a false control.
Yes.
And because you don't exceed, nobody exceeds the universal plan of that keeps everything in its place. And to be in harmony with it, we all could benefit. And most of our scientists, many of our scientists, I won't say most, because you're right, there's some who want us to do that.
Right.
But many of our basic scientists in our elementary, secondary, and our higher education programs are more concerned about how we control the winds than how we be in harmony with them.
Mm-hmm.
How we control the tornadoes and so forth, rather than how we could be in harmony with them and could make use of them. I don't think that we've ever had just much science in the West where we decided we're going to say, how can we be in harmony so nature benefits at the same time that we're benefiting,
mm-hmm.
and so forth. So it's always if I can't control it, then let's tear it up.
That's right. That's their mindset.
Yeah.
You know, speaking of somebody, as you're talking, Bob, I was thinking that you went to Tuskegee, and of course, Tuskegee is the home of Booker T. Washington and George Washington Carver. And what George mm-hmm. Washington Carver was able to tell and teach, how there was a harmony within nature and there's a balance. To me, he saved agriculture in the South. Would you agree?
I agree. In fact, that's why Auburn exists. They took it, they stole it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, you know, the rotating of the crops and all the things that he was able to produce with soybean and peanuts and yams and
That's
so
right.
forth. I mean, he's a man who was, it was brilliant. You know, I know you can hear his voice on YouTube, and he has he was castrated as a young man. So he has that real high pitched voice. Did you ever meet him?
I never met him.
Okay. No. Okay.
I went there. I was in World War II.
Okay.
And I went to Tuskegee right
after World War II?
In 46.
Okay. Okay. Did you do combat in World War II?
Yeah.
Okay. In the Pacific?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. In with the Japanese. Okay. Well, I'm going to tell you what, Baba, we're going to take a break. When we come back from the break, we'll have this, continue this conversation. This is a highlight for me, man. I ain't lying. This is a highlight for this. I'm going to keep this program and make sure you get a copy of it, because I tell you, you are an esteemed elder. You are a treasure to the Atlanta and to us as a people globally, not just nationally, not just Atlanta. You don't belong just to Atlanta, brother. You belong to us as a people because of your insight and what you have seen and what you have done and what you continue to do.
Yeah. Well, when you come back, I'll just share with you a couple of the books that I've put
yes.
together that I think are okay. important. Yeah.
And okay. also, too, when I see you Saturday, make sure you have some books on hand so I can buy some. I think I bought one of your books. I'm not sure if I bought the latest one. I know I bought one of your books before. So,
yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Baba, this is the esteemed elder, Dr. Mariba Kelsey, Baba Kelsey. And you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back. You stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. That was Killer Joe, Joe Goldston. There's a Killer Joe to Quincy Jones rendition. But that's the old one, Joe Goldston, Killer Joe. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And immediately following this program on Monday and Wednesdays, The Black People Matrix with Brother Franklin Jones at 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. On Mondays, Acres of Diamonds, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m., followed by Let's Buy Black 365 from 8 to 9. And then Conversation Reparations from Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey from 9 to 10. And then on Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. And then on Wednesday from 8 to 10 as well, Revive with Sister POC, Proof of Consciousness. On Thursdays, Relationships with Joy and Troy at 7 p.m. on Thursdays. And then on Fridays, Time for an Awakening, 8 p.m. And then on Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., it's Revive with Sister POC. And then Sunday evening, once again, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Every Monday through Friday at 10 p.m. Eastern to 12 a.m., it's the Warren Ballantyne Show right here on Time for an Awakening Media. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We're talking with the Honorable Dr. Mariba Kelsey, a brother who has been in the fight for us as a people and will always be in that fight. He understands the necessity to persevere. And just like he said, I want to do the same thing. I want to, before I check out of here, I want to see that that movement for our people is coming in that direction. And I really appreciate Baba Kelsey and all the work that he has done. I want to read something, Baba. Okay.
Well, let me just say I appreciate you and your program, because you continue to wherever you are, you're just as strong in the positions that you cite on the, just in case people wonder, is he doing this just on the radio? I'd like to emphasize that your consistency is extremely important, and that's one of the things that's extremely important for all of us. But you demonstrate that wherever you are, and I really appreciate that.
Thank you, Bob. I appreciate it. I really do, because that's one thing that they've said about me. I don't have any money. I say this to myself. I don't have any money. But what I do have is my name and my reputation. And if you go to Milwaukee right now, into the conscious community, do you know Baba Oshie or do you know Brother Oshie? And they'll say, yeah, you know. And I'm done the same thing here. In fact, one of the people here in our community here, Baba, wanted to give you greetings, and that is Sister Ani, Marimba Ani, wanted to make sure you got the greetings. You know, she was very happy. I'm going to have you on the program.
Beautiful sister.
Yes, sir. Yes, she is. You know, yes, and I appreciate that. Thank you so much. We're going to talk about the celebration this Saturday. And we're going to talk about Kwanzaa period, the importance of it. But I caught a piece, Baba, that I saw, and I made sure that I kept it, because I think it talks about Kwanzaa in a way that it's important for us. The importance of Kwanzaa is self-definition and self-celebration. Kwanzaa was initiated by Malana Karinga and draws on both our African heritage and our American experience. Kwanzaa is the only non-personality-orientated holiday formally celebrated by American African people. Kwanzaa depends on us and only us to exist. And at the same time, Kwanzaa existence affirms our struggle and progress. Kwanzaa is our holiday because we made it our holiday, regardless of what anybody says or may feel or think about Kwanzaa. Kwanzaa is our holiday because in celebrating Kwanzaa, we focus on ourselves to the degree that we make Kwanzaa important in the celebration of our lives. To that same degree, Kwanzaa celebrations nationwide elevate us in the eyes of everyone who view our Kwanzaa efforts and evaluates the capability of us as a people to chart our own destiny. I saw that, and I had to make that a copy. Now, this is Brother Salam out of New Orleans. I'm not sure when Brother Salam wrote it, but he's right. This is our celebration. I know Milana Karinga gave it, you know, back in 66, and then there's been some issues with him, but be that as it is, I embrace Kwanzaa. I was on a program in Milwaukee with a brother who has been helping to maintain Kwanzaa in Milwaukee, because we've been celebrating quite some time, the Wisconsin Black Historical Society, Brother Claiborne Benson. And he asked me, he said, "Brother Oshi, would you come on this radio program with me?" I said, "Sure." I said, "Sure, Brother Claiborne." And what it was Jesse Lee Peterson. I don't know. Do you know who Jesse Lee Peterson is, Baba?
No, I don't remember.
You know what? You don't want to know. This is the most self-hating. This is the most, he's gone beyond self-hating. That it took it to another level. He hates Africa. He hates Africans. You know, any way he can degrade and demean us, he'll do. You know, loves Caucasians. You know, he never admits that the fault of Africans is because of the imposition of Caucasians. But he was on the program with this Caucasian from Wisconsin, who was a congressperson, Glenn Grofman. And what this was about was denigrating and demeaning Kwanzaa. You know, now he mentions that the fact that Kwanzaa is a created holiday. Every damn holiday has been created. Everyone. Some human beings got together and created it. Every holiday. You know, nothing just happened out of thin air, or nothing just happened because some mystic made it happen. No, it's created. And so I was on the program with him. In fact, I got on another program with Jesse Lee Peterson, and he cut me off. He invited me on, but after I just couldn't take no more of that, you know, it was just sickening to be that, you know. So anyway, I always support the importance of Kwanzaa to our people as a celebration, but not as a celebration only, but as the opportunity for us to come together and do for ourselves. The Kwanzaa principles and the Nguzo, which is the Nguzo Saba, and we have everything we need. We have all the guidelines. We have all the codes of conduct. We have everything that we need. The only thing, Baba, that unfortunately we don't have is the will, the heart, the mind to do it. What do you think?
Well, I think that first I want to go back and say that the conduit of introducing Kwanzaa through Milana Karinga, the wind that brings, the storm that brings in the water that we need for our crops may be considered to be a vile storm, but the water for the crops we need, and so we ought to use it. Mm-hmm. That's the first thing. The second thing is that you're quite right. There are those who don't understand and they fight against it because they've been taught to fight against it, either through their theological teachings or otherwise. Mm-hmm. There's a lack of understanding that we have a right. Every family has a right to raise its children according to the culture of that family and the families, that are like them. Mm-hmm. And somehow or other, sometimes we forget that we have that right too, even though we may be taught that we are just Americans after all. We are also Africans, we should never leave that fundamental factor that we are Africans and that we've had a cultural way of living much longer than the Europeans have before they came out of the caves. And so it's important that we understand that ours is long lasting. It they even though they may have drawn some things from it and they may be useful to them, let them. But we have a right to say that this is ours and let's build on it. The only thing that's keeping us from doing that right now, in spite of all those naysayers that, like the guy you spoke of, Peterson, is that we have not come together to say that we're going to pledge ourselves all year long to practice these principles.
I say.
And to check ourselves and have some system for checking ourselves. We all go astray sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And don't get mad when somebody straightens us out.
Right.
There's a way of doing it, of course. We got to know that we love each other.
That's right. Constructive criticism.
And that we're not going to let anybody come in between us.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I say unity, unity is a very important word, because unity infers that togetherness, that we're already, if you separate an atom, there's an explosion. It ought to be that if you separate the unity, there's an explosion, and that atom does damage to anything that's around it when it explodes.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's important that we take that as one of the universal principles. And anytime somebody tries to separate us, do damage to that's around us, and then come on back together.
That's right.
Come on back together. That atom comes on back together.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an important thing to, it doesn't go out and say, they did it to me and therefore I can't. Yes, mm-hmm. It can. It's going to go right on back to its original self and be as strong as it ever was. Those are the universal principles that we must begin to understand. I was saying to you before the break, I wrote a little book called So You Want Liberation. In that book, I talk specifically about things like this, and I hope that I'm not trying to sell books so much as I am to encourage people to, if we want liberation, there are certain steps that we have to reclaim that's ours. And reformulate the atom that we call culture, that was ours, because inside of that atom electrons and
neutrons,
protons and so forth that mm-hmm. are circulating according to the order of that particular atom, and we must do the same thing. Nature teaches us those type of things.
That's right, and it's important that we seriously function, have a unity, not just, we need unity, functional unity. That's unity without conformity.
I say that we have not done a marvelous job of research and finding out things that we need. The applied, but it's intellectual research. A lot of it, many times, is intellectual research that we never put in place as applied research.
I said, yeah.
And applied, if you find something to be true, then you must apply it. You can't, it's not enough to be able to talk about it. Mm-hmm. I mean, we have some eloquent speakers who have not applied it, and even that dissonance causes problems, because if the young people hear this person eloquently speaking about it and seeing their behavior and application being different, the young person is confused.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And so we need to be that example. We need to have some functional unity. Bubba, we're going to take a call. We got a caller. 646-646. Good afternoon.
What's happening, Ocean, to your guests, man? I had just wanted to say, I have to totally agree with you, O.C., in regards to one of the greatest Americans that the white man has ever produced in this country, Jesse Lee Peterson. Oh, he is a perfect example Poison Sea to not become.
That's right.
Did Uncle Ruckus. I thought Uncle Ruckus was one of the greatest characters ever produced on TV until I saw Jesse Lee Peterson in his act. It's unbelievable how any black man could act, think, and behave like that knucker there. It is amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't even understand if it's a show. Because let me tell you this. I don't know if you know this person or not. Have you ever heard of the name Roy Ennis?
Yes. I know Roy Ennis. I know his son Nigel too. I know that Negro too.
Listen, this is what I was getting to. One day I was on the train and I ran into Nigel. I'd already met Roy, so it was no big thing, but I hadn't really met Nigel. So one day I ran into the train and I met Nigel and I sat down next to him and we started talking. And I said to her, now Nigel, you know the sugar honey iced tea you be talking ain't right and it ain't real. And out of that brother's mouth, he told me, it's about the money, brother.
It's an act, yeah.
And from that point on, I knew it was a game because it came out of his mouth. He said, I'm doing this to get paid. Because if anybody knows the history of Roy Ennis.
Yeah, he took over CORE.
They come.
Yeah, he took over CORE.
But then once he took over CORE and he had to get that money to deal with his lifestyle and to live a certain life, you got to do what you got to do. And like his son talks this nonsense, and he don't believe 90% of.
Jay, you there?
We'll get back. Jesse Lee Peterson is. That's sick Negro believe what he be talking.
I know. Jesse Lee Peterson is beyond.
I know from a fact that Nigel don't really feel what he's saying 90% of the time, but that he got to do it to get his money.
Yeah.
But Peterson, 90% or 100% of what he's saying, he truly believes it.
Yeah.
It is unfortunate that we as a people haven't gotten to the point to where as we just cast individuals like him aside.
And what's we going to do?
I just wanted to give you a laugh about that.
I hear you. Listen, I'm going to get back to our guest, the esteemed elder, Baba Reba
Kelsey. Let me just say that I think that you're absolutely right. We got those kind of people among us, and it does cause confusion intergenerationally. Because
Baba, are you still there?
And many of our young people misconstrue that, and so it's important that we call them out, just as you're doing, and at the same time apply what we know to be the truth.
Well, that's what the elders like yourself are supposed to do. Is lay down the examples and we must follow it. It's unfortunately at this present time we're not doing it in the manner in which we should. For what I can't tell you that.
Yeah.
But I know that it's gonna change because all of these things are circular. You know
That's
what
right.
I mean? Every 25 years or so things start to change back to a more revolutionary state. And I think that because of the conditions and the crises that we are in right now, I think.
You broke up on me, Jay. I'm going to tell you, you can finish that on the other end. We're going to get back to talking about the importance of Kwanzaa because I really don't want to talk about Jesse Lee Peterson. And his hatred.
Well, I think the brother is saying that all that's a part of our talk when we talk about growing together and coming together. All that's a part of that discussion because we do have those distractors among us.
Yeah, And we got to call them out. We got to call them out for who they are. And there are many. There are people in the professions. When you looked at, I did a program, Baba, on the Boule, you know, and talking about who the Boule was and how it was created and some of its members then and now, you know, and what the Boule is, a buffer between Caucasians who are running everything and us who are trying to seek, you know, real justice, real unity, real freedom, and so forth. And so they are the ones that constantly throw monkey wrenches into the situation or throw traps or whatever, you know. And they still, right. And they still doing it.
Yeah.
You know. So, but this Saturday, how many years has the pre-Kwanzaa celebration been going on at the Pittman Recreation Center in the Pittsburgh community?
I think this is the fourth year.
Oh, okay. Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Then I've been at all of them then. Yeah.
And you know that one of the reasons why I thought that it was so important is that I discovered that there were a lot of people who at the grassroots communities, and I'm going to say this, I expect it's true in most of our communities too, that don't really know, they hear Kwanzaa and they accept it as their celebration, but don't know what it's all about.
That's true. You are definitely true. You are definitely right. There are many of our people.
I think we have the responsibility of having a teaching session that doesn't put anybody down, but includes them in the whole set of teaching, learning experience.
Because I know that on my off days from the fire department, I would go into schools and work with young people and for many years and in the Milwaukee public school system. And they had no clue about what Kwanzaa was. And many of them, of course, didn't understand it. And I'm trying to explain that it was not a substitute for Christmas. It is not a religious holiday. It's a cultural holiday.
Right.
It's a cultural social holiday that we have created to focus on ourselves, you know. And it's not something that will put you in financial straits, you know.
That's right.
You know, but it will focus on family, focus on community, on children, on elders, and giving respect and reverence to ancestors. It's a cultural holiday, a chance, you know, to bring the family together, to talk about how important these principles are and how they should be put into our daily lives to make us better people. You know, we have what we need.
I think you, that is absolutely correct. They are the principles that we need to put in place and check and to be able to. We need an evaluation system,
right?
Where we, not something that somebody else creates, but that we create for ourselves, so we can assess how well we are doing on the implementation of those principles, so that when we come around the next time, we have something to celebrate. You don't just, I mean, you celebrate the work that you've done in the previous year. The fruit that you bring is fruit of the year that you produce. Next year, I hope that when we celebrate the Kwanzaa, that we will be celebrating, boy, look at the work that we've done.
That's right, some achievement. Yes. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it doesn't need to be that we created so much money, but we've created human capital, and we've come together and we've in larger groups to do certain things that bring power to us as a larger group,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to he's a leader for Kwanzaa, or I'm not looking for that. I think that's we're far beyond that at this point.
Yes.
We want to see our people. Wherever they are, whether they are in churches or if they're in mosques or wherever they are, celebrate that they are Africans and they're celebrating these basic principles as a part of being African.
That's right. And see, you know, I know one of the problems, just like what happened with, once again, I hate to bring his damn name up, Jesse Lee Peterson, he's not African. There are many of our people, let me use the correct word, Baba. There are some of our people who don't want to be African because they've been made to feel ashamed to be African and that Africans never done anything. In fact, there are some of our people, just like a legislator in Florida. She was happy. She stated it that Europeans came and took her people out of Africa and brought them here and enslaved them and then freed them so they could be part of the European system. She was happy because she said, if we were in Africa, we'd be worshiping a tree or a rock. And she said what she wanted to do as a legislator was try to implement a Christian curriculum in the schools, you know. But there's a lot of sick-minded people such as her and ignorant people. And ignorance, of course, is only absence of knowledge. And so there are many of our people who unfortunately are ignorant of Kwanzaa, the importance of Kwanzaa, its principles that if instilled in our everyday lives could transform our community and transform our world. Because not only the Kwanzaa principles here, but in the diaspora and on the continent.
Right.
And on the continent, you know, like I said, into listening to that sister who was the former ambassador of the African Union. And, you know, she's strong in espousing Pan-Africanism. She's strong in checking colonialism that's still happening, you know, that's still on the continent, and neo-colonialism, you know, like Baba. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's still on the continent, and it's still in our communities.
Yes.
And of course, where we're getting colonized minds, as Peterson, as you were saying,
but there's
so many silent Petersons.
Yeah.
And we have a job to do. We have to accept the job that we have to do if we believe that we can have liberation and freedom in this environment. Then we have work to do.
That's right.
And the work that we have to do is convince our people that we had values long before the Christian values came into existence. That were values that kept us in harmony with nature, that kept us in harmony with each other, that kept us in harmony with how we eat and how we sleep and how we embrace. It wasn't like these shows that are being shown that we can't get along with each other and that all we have to do is the sexism and so forth that exists. Now, I have nothing against it. I'm the most sexual, one of the most sexual people that you've ever known.
Go ahead, Baba. Go ahead now.
But to display it as something like a game or some kind of vice or something like that is absolutely insanity.
It is.
And so those are the... That's what these principles do for us, bring us back balance, that so that we have harmony among us. Now, I don't want to sound harsh or anything toward us because I think that we have the power to do whatever we set out to do. We just have to set out to do it and be conscious of the fact that we can do it. It is within our power to do if we decide, if we consciously make up our mind we want to do it. We will have the Christ consciousness. Now that's KRIST to mean that we have power beyond just the natural power. It is not a person. It is a power that we have.
Yes. Okay. It is a spirit that we have. You know, we're not talking about a physical being or something mystical. No, we're talking about his physical power that we as African people have, and if we tapped into it, and particularly tapped into it collectively, imagine what we could do. I mean, you know, I know the organization that we're in, the Association for the Study of Classical African Civilization, ASCAP, and we focus on that civilization because it was the height of African civilization. It was a civilization that everybody marveled at. Everybody wanted to come into and to be of. You know, hell, even the Greeks, even Alexander the so-called great, when he died, he was buried in Kemet. He didn't even want to go back to Greece, you know. But those Greeks studied at our feet. You know, John G. Jackson said, Baba, he said, we taught them twice. We taught them in ancient Kemet, when they sat at our feet for knowledge, and you see what they did, like they didn't learn nothing. They were marauders. They were barbarians, talking about civilization. And then they went into a so-called dark age, and we taught them again with That's the right. Moors in western part of Europe. We taught them again. And then they start feeling their oats, and now they come back with a vengeance, and they are dominating. Their mindset dominates the planet and is antithetic to us.
We're teaching them now. But,
yes.
But they're still not listening.
That's right. That's yeah. right.
But unfortunately, many of us have accepted that that we can't. You know, we can't. I'm not going to fight this fight because let's don't go down this way. We don't need to fight this fight. Yes, we do. We need to keep fighting the fight for ourselves, not for somebody else.
Yeah. Well, we're in a war for ourselves, for our very survival as an African people. You know, we've been under attack. We've been warred upon, and you know, and I know that we don't have the armament, the military armament that Europeans have amassed. But what I do know, what we have is our heart and our minds. And if we can collectively bring them together, we can overcome whatever. You know,
that's right.
But we have
the human capital that will enable us to do whatever we need to do.
That's right.
And nothing they can do with the physical capital that would exceed the human capital if we don't submit to it. You were talking about the brother was saying that the response was, I'm getting paid. Well, if we that means he submitted to an abstract fiscal phenomenon that could be changed tomorrow.
Right. Well, you remember Roy Ennis?
Yeah, I know him.
Yeah,
from
Core.
I knew him.
Oh, you knew him? Okay.
I knew him, yeah.
Yeah, Roy Ennis of Core. He took over from McKissick, didn't he?
Yeah, that's right.
From Floyd McKissick. Yeah, Congress of Racial Equality. And
he had to get rid of him, too.
Yeah. Yeah, tell the history, Baba. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Yeah. So after... You know, all the things that you have done, you came back, you've been back to it in the Atlanta area since 2010, almost going on 10 years now, and back into the same community where you grew up. And believe me, your presence wherever you are speaks for itself, you know, because you have seen so much and once again done so much. And putting this Kwanzaa celebration in the Pittsburgh community, inviting that community to come out. And I know last year we had a good group last year for last year's Kwanzaa. We really did. We had some good entertainment. Too bad my sister Ikeena won't be able to be there. She brought a good group. And, of course, she spoke about the Kwanzaa. See, a lot of people think that it was just Malana Karinga, but there were other people that helped develop Kwanzaa. I've had on the program a brother out of New York, and I'm going to get him on again, who helped develop Kwanzaa. And she was talking about a sister in the Bay Area, you know. So just wasn't Malana Karinga, although Karinga, you know, he's been out front. And, in fact, he did something that I thought was kind of egregious. You know, he, through the United Postal Service, you know, I buy Kwanzaa stamps because, you know, I'm real old school. And not only that, though, I want people to have jobs. You know, I just seen on the news today, there was a semi truck that went from California to New York. Its cargo was dairy, mostly butter, driverless. It went as long as it could go. There was no stopping, like, you know, truck drivers have to stop for so many hours, you know, but no, not this thing. This went from New York, from California all the way to New York nonstop through whatever conditions and so forth. It had people on board who were monitoring it, but they weren't steering it. They weren't braking. The truck did all this itself. I mean, imagine the amount of jobs if this is mass produced and done with cars and trucks and I mean, I'm quite sure the people who created a taxi service or so forth would love to have. In fact, that I think Uber's trying to develop something like that. You know,
yeah, they are.
Yeah, they don't want to pay no damn body. So, you know, so I mail. I don't go to kiosks. If I don't have to, I don't roll over and go on my computer and pay my bills because I want people to have jobs. There are more and more people, but less and less jobs. And pretty soon, what's going to happen? What's going to be the outcome of that? Well, as far as I'm concerned, the outcome of that would be chaos because people don't have jobs. How are they going to live? You know? So,
yeah.
But yeah. So, I mean, the future that the European paints, that's why marimba, there's a quote that I read by marimba, to be truly liberated. To be truly liberated, African people must come to know the nature of European thought and behavior in order to understand the effect Europe has on our ability to think victoriously. We must be able to separate our thoughts from their thoughts, has to visualize a future that is not determined by Europeans. This is a demand by an African-centered view because we are Africans and because the future to which Europe leads us is genocide.
That's right. Yeah. That's very insightful.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what you have been talking about and doing for, you know, pretty much 70, 80 years of your life, you know, trying to get our people to understand. And I hope you bring some books with you on Saturday. Like I said, I know I have one of your books, but I know I would like to get this latest one, but is to educate our people, inform our people, to let our people know the beauty that they have within themselves and the ability for them to overcome whatever obstacle, detour, pitfall that would be put into their path through coming together and persevering. Unity, functional unity. Like I said,
every time we come together, that should be one of the topics that we talk about, because we've been educated to be individuals. That is what Christianity has taught us.
That's right.
What the curriculum in schools have taught us. That's what curriculum in the universities have taught us. And even though any time that they have something that they really want to get accomplished, they will include us because they want our talents and our geniusness in it, because they realize that they miss out on something, like you were talking about the truck. I remember back in I believe it was 1960 something, when I was involved in a study where the study dealt with a 4-day week or a 32-hour week, and considering even down to less than that. And the theoretical question was, what would the people do with that excess time? Because they knew that the time was coming when automation of various forms would take over the duties of individuals who had jobs, like you're talking about. That's been being planned in my intellectual scholastic programs that I was a part of for at least 60s, 40s, 50s,
mm-hmm.
60 years almost.
Right.
So don't be surprised to see that. The only thing is that doesn't preclude our coming together. See, we keep getting ourselves mixed up with them.
That's right. That's right. You know, they're going to do what they're going
to
do.
We can keep ourselves clear that we are a cultural body that needs to be operating according to our cultural rules, not by their cultural rules. If we operate by their cultural rules, we're always going to be behind because they know their rules best.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even if they were good, they're not good. They're certainly not good for us. I don't believe they're good for them, but they're not good for us.
That's for sure. And that's the thing. Because we've been so inundated, we've been constantly bombarded by them through their media, television, radio, newspaper, you know, school, environment, all of it. And then yet we think it's somehow it's part and parcel of who we are, but it's not. And it's detrimental to us, you know. That's why it's important that we, you know, come together dealing with these principles. Don't just come together on the celebration. Come together. Do we need unity? Yes, we do. Do we need to be a self-determining people to decide for ourselves? Yes, we do. Should we work together collectively to begin to trust and believe in one another? Yes, we must. Should we spend our money or other resources with one another to support one another? You know it. Aren't we creative? You just said we have genius. So Kumba is most correct because we are geniuses. We're very creative. Do we have faith? Do we have purpose? Yes, we do. Yes, we do. So I'm saying the Nguza Saba, those seven principles of Kwanzaa, and the Ma'at, those principles to live by of truth, just like you were saying consistently about that balance. That's what is in Ma'at. There's a balance.
That's right.
If you have a man, you have to have a woman. In this chaotic society, you know.
He ran out of letters.
Yeah. Yeah. You know?
Yeah. And it's unfortunate. And that's not to cast aspersions on anybody. It's just the fact that that we're getting away from the balance and order of nature. And it's important for us as African people to begin to get back to it. Now, if somebody else's culture wants to do something different and their cultural rules say they should do something different, I think that's fine.
Yeah.
But just don't step on me when I decide that I'm gonna ride the tide and use the tide as an energy base for me to accomplish whatever I need to do rather than try to hold the tide back.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the thing about the European, you know, has he developed in that icebox, as the people say, he developed a mindset of selfishness and greediness and hatefulness and mean-spiritedness, you know? And he, one of the things that he didn't like when he was studying at the feet of our people in Kemet, he didn't understand the complementarity of men and women and the need for men and women to be together for family, for community. You know?
Yeah.
So he...
Well, he tried. He tried to take it back to Greek and do whatever he could do with it. And he did the best he could do.
Well...
Now we must do the best with what we tried to teach him.
Right. And to me, my contention is, you know, leave Caucasians alone. Whatever they're going to do, they're going to do. What's most important for us is, what are we going to do? How can we develop the functional unity, the working together, the belief in one another? One of the problems, of course, Baba, is theology, is religion. Just you mentioned a moment ago, the Christian religion teaches you to be an individual. People say, well, I'm blessed and highly favored. Oh, yeah? You blessed and highly favored, but your family's going to hell. Your community looks like a mess, but you blessed and highly favored.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
You know, but that's what that theology teaches. And so, therefore, as Malcolm said, when we come to the table to discuss the issues that are affecting us and how we can bring that unity together, we should leave our religion at home. You shouldn't come there espousing Christianity, Islam, Seventh-day Adventist, Black Hebrew Israelite. No, you come there because we are Africans.
Yeah.
We are African people. So when you come there with the sincerity of helping one another, supporting one another, building strong families, building strong communities, teaching us. You know, when I read the Enye Sesim, how important it is to educate ourselves and what the brother said in that, he said, we can do it, but what the fact is, a lot of us don't want to do it.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, let me finally say to you that let's make this year be one of Ujima, where we work together throughout the year. We kick that off as a part of the Kwanzaa season, emphasizing each of the Kwanzaa days, and then check on ourselves quarterly, which we will establish a date and publicize it. And I'll ask you to help us.
I'm down with you, Baba. I will help you in any way that I can. I'm down with you. I like the idea.
I think it's important that we come together to check about progress, and we'll check about lack of progress and what things we need to do to overcome any lack of progress. So the next year when we come to Kwanzaa, we have a report that says we've accomplished these things related to the cultural unity of African people across the city of Atlanta. And I think that would speak for itself louder than any sermon that anyone can give.
Ashe, you're right. And see, and that's one of the things that we really haven't done. We've come together on Kwanzaa. Some of the Kwanzaa celebrations are really nice and good attendance and so forth. And people come, they may still want some African clothes. You know, that might be the only time they've thrown some African clothes, you know, put on a gele, a buba, and a dashiki, whatever, you know, just as the symbolism. But we need more. We need substance.
That's right.
And that substance is doing the work of what Kwanzaa is about, to try to bring those principles into our everyday lives. And so I will definitely be working with you on that. And hopefully when we come together again next year on this radio program with you, we'll talk about what we did. And that's going to be something tremendous because that's what we need. That's what needs to happen. Because, I mean, like I said, about in 2016, which was the 50th anniversary, you know, of Kwanzaa, the 50th anniversary. And I stated on Kujichagulia that we're no closer to self-determination today than we were when Kwanzaa was first created in 1966, 50 years ago. And so the question that needs to be had is, how can we make this celebration not just something that we do between December 26th and January 1st, but something that we instill into our everyday lives as we look at ourselves and look at one another and look at our community to help transform it, dealing with those principles. And that's what we need to do.
I say.
That's for sure. Well, listen, Baba, I thank you so much. I appreciate you, and I look forward to seeing you this weekend. That is Saturday. This Saturday, brothers and sisters, from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m., it's at Pittman Park Recreation Center, 950 Garibaldi Street in the Pittsburgh community of Atlanta. 950 Garibaldi Street in the Pittsburgh community of Atlanta this Saturday. Baba, you got any closing remarks?
Well, I just say I appreciate your program, and I appreciate you having me on here. And I look forward to working with you throughout the year.
Ashe, thank you so much. Brothers and sisters, that was an esteemed elder, Baba Dr. Moriba Kelsey, and all the fine work that he has done for all these many years. And hopefully you can come to the Kwanzaa celebration and meet this man. He's Atlanta's treasure. He's a treasure in our community. That's why when I said that I'm going to have him on the program, many people spoke and said, man, that's going to be tremendous. Because he has done so much and continues to do so much. Like, you know, Baba, because sometimes, you know, there are some of us, when you get to be a grandpa, you just like, okay, I was marching in the 60s. You know, I did some this and that. Now I'm going to go here and take a break and just have children on my knee and just say, you know, no, you didn't do that.
I'm a grand.
Yeah, I know that's right. A great. All right. All right. Thank you, Baba. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Take care of yourself.
Peace. Hotel.
Hotel.
Brothers and sisters, I want to thank Baba Kelsey for the fine work that he has done and continues to do as a model. I hold him up as a model of African manhood, a good father, a good husband, a good man in the community, a brother who never wavered. It's always interesting to me. I never was in the service, but I guess the fire department is quasi-military, quasi for real. But there's some good brothers that I've met, particularly coming here, who are in the service, who are in the army, whatever branch. And it's surprising because, you know, you are indoctrinated when you go into the military service to take these orders and to do whatever they're asking you to do. But yet, some of these brothers and sisters that came out with a level of consciousness that is very surprising. They came out whole. They came out determined to make a difference for our people. And that's why, to me, those brothers and sisters always must be respected and honored. Not just, I respect you for your service, Believe me, I know if I was in the military, I wouldn't. It's not that I'm serving America. Hell, I probably need some benefits. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't like I'm trying to serve America. Because, you know, like last night at my grandson's basketball game when they played the national anthem, I'm sitting down with my red, black, and green, and there were some old Caucasians over looking at me. Why ain't you standing up with your hand over your heart? That's why I was kind of good feeling. But I had never stand up for the anthem. I didn't stand up back in the 60s when I was in high school. I had to stand up, but I held my head down when I was on the fire department as a, some way I can have a protest. Because this country has never and will never do right by us collectively. And so when Brother Jay mentioned Roy Innocent's son, Nigel, and how he was just doing it for the money. That's what many of our people do. They'll sell you out for the money. We in America. America's about individualism, materialism, greed, and violence. That's what America's about. And unfortunately, we fall prey as well. What's in it for me? How can I get over? That's why our relationships, particularly our relationships, don't work. Because many times a brother or a sister don't come into it looking objectively and looking at what are the potentials, what are the possibilities. It's always about, you know, I'm trying to get mine. So brothers and sisters, I'm going to make way for Brother Franklin Jones. And hope he has a good program, my good brother. So brothers and sisters, we end this program like we end all of our programs. With the words of Stephen Biko, the most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind, but not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do it out, and they sure in hell don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Bibi Fahodia. Bibi Fahodia means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, Bibi Fahodia, have a blessed and wonderful day. I'll see you on Friday, but hopefully I'll see you if you're in the Atlanta area at the Pittsburgh community of Kwanzaa, the pre-Kwanzaa celebration. Peace, family.